episode of Get Microschooled with Kale Education Company. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm having my fourth cup of coffee.
I know. It's Friday morning.
That's why. Exactly. Of a 4-day week.
That has felt like a 10-day week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually...
Somebody had a great idea to go to Nashville over the weekend.
I know. We're gonna get to the Nashville story. It's a good one.
It turns out I'm old. You can't recover from that. See, that sounds terrible right there. That sounds like we just tied one on. Nope.
No.
Nope. I am not of the age. What I'm saying to you people that might be listening is that anything past 10:30, 11 o'clock, I can't recover from that.
No. Well, Wanda's entered a new decade.
Wanda. Did you seriously just say that loud? Wanda's entered a new decade.
My older friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Whom I love dearly.
No.
And will always be older than me. Has hit the 5-0.
Wow.
5-0.
Wow.
We're entering in the decades of me remembering my grandparents turning.
Why are you talking to me right now?
I'm just saying, the 40s are cool.
We aren't entering the decade. I entered it.
Yeah, we. This is still in the 40s.
Yeah, I feel like it's fantastic that you followed up that we are entering with.
We are.
You remind me of my grandma.
Yeah, the fantastic 50s.
Oh my gosh. What? I quit.
You are sensational, though. I mean, it's fine. And I mean, we joke because you have to joke. I mean, aging is better than the alternative.
It is definitely better than the alternative.
Fine.
I'm
it's
down
fine.
With
you
that.
Still look great.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you probably
fantastic.
Feel better than you felt in a long time.
Yeah.
She's taking care of her health.
Yeah.
And...
It's unbelievable when you take care of your health. You can feel better.
Yeah.
It's craziest thing, Jill.
I know. And, I don't know. No, I had not until I started dealing with some things that happened to us in our 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. No one warned me.
No one.
Like
talks
no
to you
one
about
said
it.
One day you're going to wake up and you literally are not going to be able to walk across the room. No one ever said that to me. So when that happened to me, I think something major is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to every specialist I can find.
No. And what do they tell us? Oh, nope.
Yeah, no, you're just of the age. Of the age.
Thanks for that.
And so I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
Life shifts a lot. It shifts a lot in your 40s. Lots of good things, lots of tough things, but anyway, you're taking care of yourself. It's better than the alternative. And so we decided we needed to celebrate Wanda's big 5-0.
So bad. I don't even know the people listening, but it's embarrassing. You all should be embarrassed.
It's so fantastic. Now, I don't.
And my husband's older than I am. So he's he's old. He's old, man. He's 53.
He is. And he.
But he acts
he
like
perhaps
70.
Acts a little older, right? He does. God
Not
love
that
him.
70's bad.
No, oh gosh, no. It's all great. But I'm telling you what, I always say to Susan, my mother is 74, 75. She's living her best life.
My mom is 81 and in the room across the building adjacent to us.
And still
teaching Spanish right now.
She does. We don't let Senora quit. But I said I feel like I'm gonna come alive in my 70s because my mom, I think it's been her best decade yet. So I'm just holding out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You did tell me that. You did tell me that about a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. You said, Suze, I really think 70's gonna be
70's
our time
gonna
to shine.
Be it's gonna be our decade.
Great, Jill.
I mean, I'm ready for it. They've heard our Iceland trip. That's on another podcast, but it's always an adventure when we go somewhere with the Deacons. And what you should hear me say first is that planning a trip with the Deacons is not the easiest feat. And so we talked about it a lot, but making plans is not something that is a forte. Is that the right word?
It requires commitment.
It does. And that is not, that's not high on her priority list. And so I was just under the assumption that probably we would end up staying local and go down to Herman or go to the Lake of the Ozarks or Kansas City or St. Louis. And that was going to be fantastic. I was fine with all that. And then, you know, I don't know, a week and a half before.
Oh, no, that's too far. I'm going to say a solid week. Okay. It was a week because we did it right before the trivia night.
We did. One week before she throws out and goes, let's just go to Nashville. Okay, let's go to Nashville. I mean, we're down for that. Devin and I, we celebrated our 11-year anniversary. So we all were ready to party and celebrate and go. And so we get online to book the trip and we were able to fly out together, but we didn't get the same flights back. But we're booked.
But we're booked.
We're booked and we're going. And so it had been 60-degree weather, like really nice weather for, I don't know, a week. And then the day before we leave, it's like this snow, ice storm. We have to release school early.
Only in Missouri.
And then Saturday we were flying and the weather was fine, but there had been several wrecks on 70. And so it was hard to get to the airport. And so it started the day just kind of
off. A 2-hour trip with some traffic turned into like three and a half.
It was kind of crazy. So anyway, we make it to the airport. Now we know that we are on like a charter kind of flight, a regional jet is what I had in mind.
So a jet nonetheless.
Yeah. And it was making a stop in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is a very small town, I think.
They've got a university there. Arkansas State.
It's not an airport I've ever had on any of my itineraries. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Never made a stop there.
Yes. Fair.
So that was in itself kind of like, huh? It was Southern Airways.
Southern Airways
Express. That's what we were flying. I had never heard of this airline, and I fly quite a bit, but I hadn't heard of it. And so the night before, we're trying to get ready, and I said, "Well, you know, I'll download my app, download their app, and get the boarding pass, do all that stuff." Well, I did that, but there's no place for a boarding pass on the app. And I thought, huh, that's a little strange.
Yeah.
And again, I was going to just let it go. But my husband is slightly more anal than I am, especially when it comes to flying. So before I even know what he's doing, he's dialing up the folks at Southern Airways. And now here's clue number two. They answered on like the second ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't an automated. Mm-mm. It was a Southern Airways.
How can we help you?
And I was like, oh, dang. Okay.
Which is pretty stinking awesome, really.
Oh, totally. I mean,
like, hear me say, like, but it's you.
We weren't ready for it.
You know you're up for something different.
Yep. And so she's like, oh, yeah, we got you. You're in here. There's no boarding pass on the phone. Just go to the ticket counter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go to the ticket counter, which was difficult to find.
Yeah.
It's one and
leads us, sweetest lady. Sweetest lady. Oh my gosh, she was awesome.
I loved her. I wanted to take her to Nashville with us.
Absolutely.
She's great.
But that led us to our third clue. Of course, Tony and I, we don't really call in early or anything. Like, we're going to show up and find the counter. So, like, we didn't know about clue one or two. So we get to the ticket counter, though, and our sweet little lady, who is dynamite, truly. Mm-hmm. And she asks us how much we weigh.
Yep.
Well, there's a clue.
Never, ever in my life of flying have I been asked how much I weigh.
And like all of our luggage is carry on because we're going for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be weighed.
Everything had a weight on it, including us. And so that was different.
Different, but cool. Great.
But okay. So we walk down to our gate, which happens to ironically be the same place that we left out of for Iceland, which was kind of cool.
Just great memories there.
Mm-hmm. And so we're having some breakfast and Devin just pops over and looks at the gate we're leaving from. And he comes back around the corner and he goes, it's like a one propeller plane. And we're like, what? Because I still have like small regional jet in my head, you know, like the two seat, one seat, like that's what's in my head. No, it is not that.
No. Mm-mm.
And so we look around the corner and it is, in fact, a very small plane with six seats.
Six seats, one propeller.
Yeah.
One propeller.
Now, Susan is a nervous flyer anyway. And I didn't know if you were going to get on that plane. I thought maybe they were going to exit the airport and just drive and meet us there. Mm-hmm. I think there was a moment.
Oh, my Tony, for sure.
Yeah.
Tony was on the way out.
Yeah.
Like all we had to do was say, okay, we'll drive.
Yeah.
He was out.
So Susan, in her anxious state, starts to meet everyone around that's also going to be on the plane.
And by everyone, there's two other people.
So she knows them on a first name basis now.
Jennifer in Kentucky.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. And so then a few minutes later, this woman, nice woman, dressed in street clothes at the airport, comes up to us and says, "Hey, you guys ready to go down?" And we're like, "Sure." I mean, you do have a
name.
She's
like 16. I mean, she's not, but you know, when you're 50, thanks to people, my friend here. Yeah. I mean, what I'm telling you is she really looked like she was 16. Yep. Sweetest little thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, you ready to go? I mean, like, there's no, like, over the microphone kind of announcement. Mm-hmm. No. Anyone in Fatty for Jonesboro? Nope. This cute little teeny bopper walks up. She goes, "Okay, if you guys are ready now, I'm going to take you down the elevator."
Yep.
Whoa.
And we were like, "Oh, hold the phone. Like, never done this." And so this is all an adventure. And so we go down and we walk across the like down where the airplanes are. We're like on the ground with the air traffic controllers walking over to the plane as if you're in Cancun or something, except there's like ice and snow everywhere. And so there we are outside walking over to the plane. And we get on the plane. You have to bend down to get into the plane. So we're like walking
hunched
over.
And they have us sitting in wait order.
Correct.
So teachers out there, if think about lining your kids up to go outside by wait order.
By wait order.
Yeah. That makes you feel good.
So one of the pilots tells you which seat you're assigned to. And you get on and you just drop your bags there in front of you. There's no carry-on. Like, there, I mean, there's carry-on, but there's no like overhead bends. Yeah. You can't even stand up.
You just sit there.
You just sit there. And so we're like all looking at each other, like just like mesmerized. We can't even really like figure out what's happening. Like Susan and I are in the front. So like we can literally touch the pilots.
Yeah.
Like they're just right there.
Little cutie patooties.
They're so cute. And so FAA directions were him turning around in the plane and saying, "Hey, if you see smoke or fire, tell us. We have a fire extinguisher."
He did say that.
He did.
He thought he was funny.
"If you're going to throw up, please throw up here.
And then sure take it with you.
I mean, it was the craziest thing ever. So there we go. We take off. Best takeoff
ever. What I'm going to say to you that are listening is Southern Airlines is the way to go. And I will probably forever. Yeah. I went from feeling absolutely panicked.
Terrified. Yeah.
To, I mean,
never wanting to do anything different.
Never wanting to do anything different.
Yeah.
Like those, they have figured it out. Your connection was, and I don't even think you'll remember this, but this is a good segue into like an actual podcast about microschools. You said to me when we landed in Nashville, you said, "You know what this is like? This is like a micro airline.
A microschool airline."
It's like they have perfected
that's true.
What we are trying to do in education.
Yeah.
They have simplified it down. One person can do more than one job. Mm-hmm. Everybody's friendly. Everybody helps take care of the whole thing.
Yep.
It was smooth. It was the best experience.
It was.
Like I went from being terrified to asking when we landed back again in St. Louis, is saying, "Please come to Columbia.
Yeah.
Please come to look." Like, you guys, nobody does service in airline, in the airline industry like you guys do.
Totally agree. So,
unbelievable.
Book yourselves a trip on Southern Airways Express.
They're fantastic.
They are fantastic.
You will not be sorry.
And you get like this private experience. Mm-hmm. I said to Susan, "This must be what Taylor feels like." Except I think she can walk in her plane.
I was taking a drink of coffee when she said that. She sure did. I mean, don't go in with that mindset.
It may not look like that. But it will be worth your time.
It is worth
your
time.
And it's hassle-free.
Hassle-free.
And everyone's kind. You get nicer accommodations at the airport.
Oh my gosh.
It's totally.
They're all private little airports.
You're flying private. And it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go.
And Travis is down in Sydney with my girl. This is an update to you guys that I may be watching it. I watched the highlights this morning from the concert last
night. I'm pretty
sure
that's why they all tuned in.
I know.
To find out the update.
Still loving them. Congrats to the Chiefs.
Congrats.
Our Chiefs got another Super Bowl win.
Chief Nation.
Amazing. Amazing. We're very proud of them. We are sad to know what happened at the parade event.
Oh my gosh, that is awful.
And our thoughts are with families that were part of that. But it's exciting time for Kansas City with another win.
The kingdom is happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So today we are talking finances. Finances.
Well, Jill's going to do a lot of talking today, just so you know. I'm going to nod.
Financing is a big piece of micro schools because you likely are like us in that there is none. You have to figure it out yourself, and it will come from very few places, which makes it difficult. And we have said before, we chose to go the for-profit route, and mainly because we wanted to maintain control of what we're doing. We did not want a board. We wanted to be able to create our own direction. We wanted to be able to change lanes when we wanted to without hassle. And so we decided to stay in the for-profit lane, which does, of course, take you out of grant funding that some nonprofits get, because apparently schools have to be poor in order to get help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is another sad thing. I unfortunately, I think that needs to change too, because everyone thinks educators work for free. And
see, and this is where I get on my soapbox. This is why this became an upset. I'm trying to behave. But like, that's, to me, that's like the most frustrating part. Yeah. Like, and I've said it on other podcasts, so I'm not going to repeat it. But yeah, like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Everybody, every other profession can be for profit.
Yeah.
We want to revolutionize education. Mm-hmm. Nobody will argue that public education needs to be revamped, needs to be rethought, restructured, what have you, whatever. But the minute that people try to do something revolutionary, like educate children in a different way and meet their needs, like truly meet their needs, well, you have to be non-for-profit or we can't help you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So really our kids are still just a business write-off and not a movement to educate kids. Right. An investment. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Go back to it.
So anyway, so that was our choice. We did that. And so we had to figure out how to make it work. And so when you first start, I think it's no clue. You have no money. I mean, you have no money. You don't have money. Your business doesn't have money. No one got any money.
Yep.
So personally, from a personal standpoint, I planned for a year out, knowing that was going to happen. I've said that in other podcasts. I made sure that we could live knowing that we would not be paid for quite some time. And I think that is part of being an entrepreneur. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to think about that, because the money is not like when you have a job, you have a job and you get paid every month and that's the way it is. And the opportunity cost of being an entrepreneur is that's not guaranteed. You have to do the work to make the money. And so we looked at it at the beginning as you have a choice. So, and we talked back and forth about it. We could either self-finance and we were each going to put in an equal amount to get ourselves started, or we could take out a small loan. And we chose to take out a small loan. We chose the number based on what we could easily each pay back if we needed to. And we had done kind of a forecast. Susan's really good at organizing information. And we'd kind of put together a spreadsheet of what we wanted to buy and how much it was going to be. And so we had an idea of how much money we were going to need. And then we asked for a little bit more. We opened a line of credit in case we needed it. We did not use it. Mm-hmm. Some people will open a line of credit along with the loan so that they can pay themselves or they can pay employees. We chose not to pay ourselves up front. And that is not something everyone chooses to do. And I don't think it's something you have to choose to do.
We got paid so much from the district we left. Like I got paid, I can't remember how that worked.
I had vacation day payout. Uh-huh.
And that's, I think, what I had too. Yeah. And so Jill and I just talked about how we would use that. And, you know, I put it all in like a savings account. Yeah. And then I moved so much over every month and it didn't last long. Mm-hmm. It didn't last as long as I mean, I needed it to, but that was at least a way to get started as our tutoring business kind of got up and going.
Anyway, that's kind of how we just started it. We started it first. So we had to write up a business plan for the bank. We joined the Women's Business Center. They were helpful in giving us some different calculators to use so we could project and make a business proposal for the bank. That was super helpful. And the bank, we happened to both bank at the same bank. And so we knew some people there, which I think is helpful. Susan's husband has a lot of relationships there. And like I said, we didn't take out a loan that was too large for us not to be able to pay back. And so they did say yes. They took a chance on us and they gave us the loan, which was a blessing at the time. And then we had to find a place to rent. And that is difficult. We have talked about that in other places, in other episodes as well. Getting some place to rent where there will be children is hard. Some buildings aren't zoned to take children. Some landlords don't want to have children. And it was hard to find a space. We did find one. We rented it. We had to start renting a few months before we opened, which was hard. So that's, we were using some of that loan money to pay the rent on that place. And it's okay if that first place is not your forever place. You just have to have a place to get started. So getting that place will force you to start doing some other things. And then as soon as we could, we hired a third person. But I think that was, well, we actually started, I guess, with a third person to kind of help us get going. And she was fantastic. And we didn't know what we needed before we got there. I think that was I overestimated what we would need to get started.
Well, I think it was two things. I think we overestimated what we would need. And I also think that we underestimated the value of us learning how a business runs.
To do it on our own.
And so I think what we knew was from a school lens, right? Yeah. We would need somebody to help with this or to help with that. Mm-hmm. All that was accurate.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're only enrolling 10 to, 18 kids by the end of the year, you can do that pretty seamlessly. Where the misuse occurred was us thinking that we were going to use her for more of the business things.
Yeah.
When reality, we don't know the business. We have to do that because when it's your business and it's your livelihood, you have to be 100% invested in that, because there's never going to be an opportunity to say, oh, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't file that. Or, like you can't do that. And you can't put that on somebody you care about because that's a really crappy friend, right? I mean, that's a really crappy boss when you're asking him to do things. Well, go figure that out.
Never
done it before.
That's exactly right.
Right. And so it was just a really bad position because we were too busy learning the business end of it.
We were.
To be.
So like, start with yourselves.
Yeah. Start with yourselves.
Start with yourselves. And then, then we were able to hire a first part-time teacher in October of that year. So we started renting in April. We opened in August and we hired our first teacher in October. And that was just part-time. And she was fantastic, retired teacher that we knew. And that gave us just a little bit of breathing room. Not much, but a little bit. We still were working all day and working all night, but that's part of being an entrepreneur as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be, those are kind of the first things with finances. Idea number two, try not to make promises regarding future money. That's really hard. It's hard to go back and life just gets more expensive every single year. So do a first year rate or a referral discount. For those families, we call them our founding families, and they got a heck of a deal. They really did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just wanted people to sign up.
Yeah, we did.
And
you need people to get people.
You need
know
to
that.
Get people.
And I think we said in our last episode, like, people, you'll get frustrated. People will say word of mouth. And you're like, yeah. No, really, it's word of mouth. And you need people to get people.
You do. And so we set a pretty low base tuition. And we've never raised it on those families. Mm-hmm. We told them that we wouldn't. We haven't. Anyone who came in those first 2 years had a discounted rate from where we are right now, and we have not raised them. Mm-hmm. Now we're at a more stable tuition.
Yeah.
And so any new family comes in and that's what it is. And we're going to try to do that as long as we can. Like we said, I mean, our rent has gone up, our materials have gone up, our teacher pay has gone up, our benefits have gone up, and we have not raised rates. And so at some point we will have to, and we don't make promises about that anymore. We say we review it every year. We will look at it in December and there is a chance that it's going to go up. And most schools around here do raise it every single year. So for the families that are newer, they may see some of those increases as we go, but we try to be as fair as possible. Mm-hmm. And, we stretch our budget. So our tuition pays for everything. It pays for rent. It pays for salaries. It pays for benefits. It pays for materials. It pays for pencils. It pays for everything that we do. Mm-hmm. So we stretch every single dollar, and we try not to fee our families to death. We add that into the tuition costs instead of all the extra.
And that way they can plan too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what's hard is when they think it's going to be one set tuition cost.
Right.
But then there's a fee for this and there's a fee for that.
Yeah.
And we just didn't
do that.
Yeah. We just didn't like that.
Yeah. And so I think that's a big deal. Now we do a re-enrollment fee. Right now we're at $100 for re-enrollment if you're going to stay the next year. Of course, we use that for back to school things, t-shirts, needed materials, things like that. And then we do a $250 deposit for new families that come in, and that's used for the same thing. So, so that gives us a little extra to be able to do fun things at the beginning of the year or, buy t-shirts or whatever it is we're going to do. So those are the fees pretty much, tuition and then re-enrollment and registration. So that's the first thing I would tell you. Don't make promises regarding future money. Just say that you'll continue to monitor it, and you will let families know. We let them know before Christmas break of each year what tuition will be for the next year, because then we start asking them to make commitments to us in January. And they have to have that deposit in by March 1st in order to hold the seat for the next year to re-enroll. So number two, pay yourself as soon as you can, even if it's $500, pay yourself. Now I made the mistake because we didn't know what we were doing, and I was so worried about taxes. I get very worried about taxes. Like taxes in general just make me nervous because you just don't know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't do well when I can't budget what's coming. And especially that first year, you have no idea what's coming. And so at the time I was paying us on payroll because I thought to myself, well, that'll just take taxes out and we won't have to worry about that money later on. Well, that's silly because as a business owner, you can take a draw and just pay taxes once instead of paying taxes twice. That whole concept totally went over my head when we first did this. And so don't do that. Just take it.
don't
put yourself on payroll unless you're going to be a S corporation. And so unless you're going to be an S corp, you would not want to take a salary. And that's something you'd want to talk to your accountant about. And so you just want to make sure you understand taxes. And personally, for me, I pay taxes quarterly. And now that we have moved from an LLC to an S corp, we are paying taxes quarterly. And so that is something that you will want to work on, which is the next idea: get a good accountant. You will not want to pay for a good accountant because it does cost a lot of money to have someone good. But you need a good accountant because they will save you money in the long run, and they will make sure everything is right. And making sure that those things are in line is super important. And so how do you get money for all of the resources that you need to do? And that was one of the things up front we were making, you know, like you need to buy curriculum things. You need to buy chairs. You need to buy tables. You need to buy carpet. You need to buy all
the
things.
We did a lot of things on Facebook, like, because, you know, we're of the age where we're Facebook markets. And so we got a lot of those. We got like smaller chairs. We got one of the other private schools in town had done a grant and gotten a bunch of new furniture. And so she called and asked if somebody we knew that we'd previously worked with. And she was like, hey, you know, would you like some old furniture? So, you know, calling around to some other like parochial schools, private schools, saying, hey, do you have anything you're trying to get rid of? But really, Facebook Marketplace was a big hit for us. Like, we were able to find some easels. And like, if you're thinking about doing something next fall, right now is a really good time because all those retiring teachers are getting rid of things. Yep. And so, I mean, if you start just putting out the word, like we started a library from a couple different retired teachers that year. And I mean, they're just so generous. Like, people, teachers will help you.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's where we got like all of our baskets, mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. of our file folders, games. I mean, we started books.
Yeah, like we were really in good shape. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was, we saved, I think what we had budgeted for, we saved money there.
We did.
Just by being really smart about mm-hmm. where we were looking for things. Like nothing needs to be new. Mm-hmm. That you're still serving children.
Right, that's right.
It'll still be written on, drawn
so
on.
True. And, you know, you really don't need much. It's kind of like when you have a baby and you get all the things that you think you're going to need and then you end up using like 10 of them. It's kind of the same concept. You think you're going to need a lot of stuff and you don't necessarily need everything that you think you might, but it's hard to know when you first get started. So take as much as you can from other people. And as far as curriculum goes, there are so many free things out there. And I think because of our background, we knew a lot of curriculum things. Mm-hmm. And where to get them. And we also knew how to ask for a pilot. Mm-hmm. And so we asked for pilot materials from a reading company and from a math company. And that was enough to use for all of our kids. Yeah. We didn't have to buy anything. Mm-mm. And we kept that stuff.
We kept what we wanted to, but that was yep. at the end of the year because they'll let you use it. They'll let you pilot it yep. for a year. So at the end of the year, we sent back what we didn't need. Yep. So it kept, I mean, it was a huge savings. It was a huge savings. It was yeah. money for sure.
Yeah.
But it was way less expensive than what it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, and you know, we could probably do a whole podcast mm-hmm. on, there's so much great material out there in terms of curriculum that's yeah. free that
free
you can
math,
get online,
free reading, and
science, social yes. studies. Like people have done an amazing job mm-hmm. in trying to help rejuvenate schools.
Yeah, I would agree.
And there's just,
and it's good stuff.
It's really good stuff.
So maybe we'll do a whole episode on that, yeah. on where to get some of that. And you know, in my other life of helping schools, I'd never recommend expensive programs to schools. So, you know, trying to find the best resources to use on a budget is something that all schools are careful about.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting those things is really helpful, but you really can put together a whole really strong curriculum with materials that are out there. So go to the library. Your local library probably has book sales where they're selling books for like a quarter. That's another good place to get books if you don't find some retired teachers who want to give you their entire library. And parents will drop books off to you. We still mm-hmm. get just boxes of books because their kids are growing older and they'd rather donate to us mm-hmm. than drop it off somewhere. And so asking your parents for those kinds of things is really great as well. And then the last thing is just deciding what you're going to pay teachers and what benefits you can offer and what benefits are you giving people?
Yeah.
This is, and we're in year three and we're just going to probably start doing benefits next year. Mm-hmm. So we were not able to at first. We have a lot of teachers who are on hourly for us. If they're part-time, everybody started that way.
Yes.
We had everybody on hourly. Now we do pay a flat rate for full-time teachers, and then we are starting to do benefits next year. So we will start to do a retirement match. We'll do a retirement match with a simple IRA, 3%, and we're going to do a stipend for health benefits if they need that. And then the other thing that we have gone back and forth about is if you work for us, what kind of discount do you get with your own kids? And we have always felt like that's a pretty big benefit. If they want to work here, they can bring their own children. And we've gone back and forth. I think we've done it differently every single year. And at first, you need cash flow. And so it's hard to trade services like that because you have kids there that are taking up seats, which means it's harder to enroll more kids. But those kids that are there, their teachers' kids are not paying. And so the cash flow is hard. Once you get enough students, that becomes slightly less of a concern because you have enough cash flow coming through. And so we have taken it out of their paychecks. And so like we would do a discounted rate, and they just pay for it out of their hours, and then they still get a remaining balance of their paycheck. But I think we're at a point now this next year where we may offer it as a benefit. If you are full-time, your kids can come free. So we might start that and try that and see how that goes. We're hopeful that that'll be an enticing benefit for people. And, you know, some of that decision came because we just weren't, we don't have enough great benefits, and we wanted to be able to really offer something that would be meaningful to our teachers. And we feel like that might be one that is. And we're asking them to work for a lower salary generally. Yeah. Yeah. And so that is one that we've been back and forth on. And I will tell you, that's probably going to be a hard one for you to decide up front. I mean, discounted is a simple thing to do, but you can think about where that fits within your overall benefits package. So any other great advice?
No, those were the biggest things.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. Finances is hard.
It's hard.
And, you know, I tend to hoard money a little bit, and Susan probably wants to beat me up about that sometimes, but we have, we've also been thinking about our own future and where we're going to go next, because we do continue to grow. We are adding the high school next year, and, our space is fantastic and we love it. It is getting a little small. Mm-hmm. And so we are saving back money, in case we decide we want to purchase something in the future. That's always kind of on our mind. And so now we're starting to be thoughtful about that. Where does that money go? Where is it sitting? Where can it earn us interest as we're trying to plan for the future? And if we never buy, then we're building our own retirement nest egg as well. So it'll be used either way, but you do have to kind of think about that as well. What does 5 years look like? 5 years out, 3 to 5 years is a pretty good plan. And I think by year three, you'll feel pretty good about where you are and where you're going. So, but give yourself 3 years.
Yeah. It takes three years. And yeah. Be okay with that. Yeah. I mean, you know, and just appreciate everything. Mm-hmm. And like, take time to appreciate and to watch, and because it's constant stress, because it's a business and it's education. So, I mean, you guys know that. So I think don't miss the ride either.
Yeah.
You know, like, really take time to enjoy it and appreciate what you're building. Cause it's pretty incredible.
It is. Yeah. You'll be very proud of yourself.
And I don't want to beat her up. Mostly I don't. She does. Mostly she's a good job. What? Gosh. Push the stop button, Jill. Dang it.
Okay. And this is coming out on Fridays. You know, I used to be really good about every Thursday, but let's just be honest. Like, life is hard.
Man.
Life is hard. I was gone all day yesterday. I left my good friend. By the time I got home last night, I was so exhausted. And I thought about calling her to say, hey, do you want to get this out tonight? And I thought, nope, we have Friday morning. We're doing it on Friday morning. So sometimes you're going to get new episodes from us on Thursday. Sometimes it's going to be on Friday. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might be on Tuesday.
I mean, really, we just like to surprise the
we
people.
We do. Keep
we want
guessing.
To surprise the people.
So thanks, as always, for listening. Absolutely. If you need us, please reach out to us. You'll find our website at www.comokale.com. Or www.kaleedco.com.
And I'm still putting in another shameless plug. Okay. I want people to talk to me about a micro school conference.
Oh, yes.
Let's come on.
I know.
Let's do this.
It's time.
Do this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, friends. We will see you next time.